Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Balchapel explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
But God says, don't let sin be the monarch of you. Don't let sin boss you around. Don't let that old crowd tell you what to do. Don't let that old crowd tell you what to drink. Don't let that old crowd tell you how to talk. Don't let that old crowd tell you where to go. Don't let sin reign any longer in your body and in your life.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Balchapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Balchapel with part two of a message called Victory Through Jesus Christ.
Now please, this is not talking about an unsaved man. Paul was certainly saved, but he was talking about the power of the flesh. The fleshly thinking and living. The flesh thinks it can conquer evil, but the flesh is evil itself. And the clash that he describes is real. This was real within him. And I believe it's real within many of you as well. There's this desire in your mind of the new man to know what is right, but the body says, stay in bed, drink that, say this, be mad about this. Have this thought or that thought, you see. It's a clash. Look at verse 15. He says, What I hate, that I do. Look at the clash of the will that is seen there. It's the clashing. Notice verse 23, there's a clashing of the mind. He says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He says, sometimes there's a law between my mind and my members. In my mind, I know the Lord's will, but my body, my flesh, also has a desire, the lust of the flesh, the battles of the mind. Now, every one of us need to recognize that the indwelling sin within us needs to be dethroned. Every one of us must recognize that it can only be dethroned by the reckoning of the power of God and the cross of Jesus Christ within our life. So there's an ongoing battle. But notice, secondly, there's an ever-present enemy. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now I know what the positive thinking books say. They say, look at yourself in the mirror every morning and tell the mirror, you're gonna go get him, tiger. You're a great looking man. You are wonderful. You can conquer the enemy. You can do it. You can do it. The Bible says that we should look ourselves in the mirror and say, without Jesus, you're gonna flop. You see, there's an ever-present enemy, and that is our flesh. Now, in this section, the Apostle Paul is really, we could call it the Lamentations of the Apostle Paul. He is lamenting the battle with the flesh, and he says, nothing good dwells in the flesh. The old man of dominion has been crucified. Sin does not have to dominate me anymore, but the flesh is still there. Here's a great quote. I want you to read it with me. Follow along with me. It says, after salvation, sin, like a deposed and exiled ruler, no longer reigns in a person's life, but it manages to survive. It no longer resides in the innermost self, but finds its residual dwelling in his flesh, in the unredeemed humanness that remains until a believer meets the Lord at the rapture or at death. In other words, the ultimate delivery from this flesh is when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll study that in just a moment. But the fact is that nothing good dwells in the flesh, and the fact is this morning that the flesh cannot produce righteousness. Now, please understand, you can wear a nice suit, you can carry a King James Bible, you can know all the religious words, and you can do all of that in the flesh. The flesh is oftentimes deceitful. And we think, boy, look at him. He looks good. But God says, I see the heart. And the Bible says in verse 18, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So here we see the carnal and the spiritual have conflicting purposes. Paul said, I know what I should do, but there's a conflict with the carnal man within me. Paul's will is purpose to live by the law, but he realizes in his flesh dwelleth no good thing, and through the flesh he will never accomplish what God wants him to accomplish. Now, folks, let's just think about the profundity of this for a moment. Here is the greatest Christian that ever lived, perhaps, telling us that the things that he knows he should do according to the law, sometimes he doesn't do. I don't know about you, I find this to be a very profound passage. And again, I want to ask you, how many of you would just honestly say, I've been here before, what he's talking about? Anybody else, or am I the only one? Okay, so this is a very relevant passage of Scripture. In fact, Paul even says this. Look in your notes at Philippians 3:12. He says, not as though I had already attained. He said, I'm not there yet. Either we're already perfect. Notice verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You see, here's a man who's saying, I'm not going to tell you that I've never had temptation. I'm not going to tell you I always obey the law. I'm not going to tell you that I am perfect. He said, I'm not perfect. I'm carnal, he says. The hardest people to help are the ones who will not admit they need help. He goes, no, I'm fine. Now, my granddad was a Baptist preacher. So what? No, I've read the Bible 17 times. Congratulations, you want a ribbon? I mean, what does that mean? No. I mean, other people need that. I'm good. I know you haven't seen me for 6 months, and I know you've had to bail me out of jail twice, but I'm good. You see, until we honestly say, I live in a fleshly body, and I need Jesus Christ every day, and I need to walk in the Spirit, until we say what Paul said, I have not apprehended, we're not going to get what we need this morning, because we're not just here doing church like, hey, looking good. We're here today to say, Lord, I haven't apprehended yet. And this is what Paul says in this passage. So he shows us the failure of the flesh. But notice, secondly, the desire for deliverance. Now, if you've had this kind of struggle with the flesh, it can get old, and some people quit. Let me say again, some people quit. Some people say, that it didn't work, see you later. But look at what Paul does. The question he says in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, here's an honest question. Boy, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. And he says, oh, wretched. Now, we would say, Paul, don't be so hard on yourself. I mean, come on. You were shipwrecked. You were beaten with rods. You were stoned and cast out of a city. And you did all of that for Jesus. You're not a wretched man. You're a good guy, because if you're a wretched man, what am I? But Paul says, wretched man that I am. Now, why would he say that? Well, remember, he's writing these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He's in the very presence of God. He knows about the holiness of God. And he just simply says, you know, as I am here in the presence of God thinking about how I struggle, I see myself as a wretched man. And if we would see God high and lifted up, we would realize that we do fall short. And this is what he means. I'm a wretched man. Hudson Taylor, one of the greatest missionaries to ever serve in China, came to Melbourne, Australia to preach at a meeting, and as he was introduced, Hudson Taylor was introduced as the illustrious guest who had started many churches and done all these great things, and all of these flowery words were said. And when Hudson Taylor stood to preach before the crowd in Melbourne, he said, dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master. You see, the closer you get to God, the more you realize, I haven't apprehended. I still struggle. And I say that today, not to glorify the struggle, but to say, don't let the devil kick you because you've had a carnal thought or because you're not as seemingly perfect as someone else. When the Apostle Paul himself shares this truth with us, the Bible says in Psalm 130 and verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, you see. This lamentation of the Apostle Paul was a painful conflict, and so he shows us a solemn assessment of himself. And then notice this lamentable question. He says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Now, who will rescue me? Now, there was a tradition in the hometown of the Apostle Paul. We refer to him at times as Saul of Tarsus. And in the city of Tarsus, if someone committed murder, they had a strange way of beginning their punishment. And they would take the body of the murdered, and they would tie the body of the murdered onto the body of the murderer. And the one that had committed the crime would carry the dead corpse around town on his body, would carry the stink and the stench and the weight of that body. And Paul is using an analogy when he says here, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, this struggle, it stinks. This struggle is heavy. This fighting with the flesh. Who, how can I be delivered? The question then is, who will deliver Paul? Because Paul acknowledges he can't do it. How many of you have figured out you can't live the Christian life? We can't do it on our own. We need deliverance. We need help. We need guidance. And that brings us to the main point this morning. Notice finally, the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. We've seen the failure of the carnal life. We've seen the desire to be delivered. Who can deliver me? But notice verse 25, and let's read that first sentence. Ready, begin. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. One more time, now that you found it, ready, begin. The victory over sin is found in Jesus Christ alone. You say, Pastor, why do you say that? First of all, because we have tasted of His grace. If you have tasted of the grace of God, that grace that saved you is the grace that can guide you. It's the grace that can keep you from sin. Notice in Romans 8:23, it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now look right up here. I know some of you are new in the Lord. What does this mean? The first fruits of the Spirit speaks about when you got saved, the Spirit of God, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When you were saved, you partook of the first fruits of the Spirit. God began His work in you. You were sanctified, set apart by His Spirit. You are being sanctified, cleansed, and guided by His Spirit. And one day when you see Jesus, you will be ultimately sanctified. So we have tasted of the first fruits of the Spirit. Notice verse 23 there of Romans 8. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now please watch this. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, notice, the redemption of our body. Say that phrase, please. The redemption. So I have tasted of the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. The Lord is in me. The new man is in me. But I'm waiting for the redemption of my body because this sinful body has not been redeemed. This sinful body still has a pull and a tug and a brain that doesn't think right always. And there are temptations. And so I've tasted of the grace of God, but I can't wait to get my new body someday. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So we've tasted. By the way, how many of you have tasted of the grace of God? Let me see. Remember when you got saved? Remember what that tasted like? It tasted good. Whew, my sins are forgiven. I want to know more about this Bible. Oh, what is the choir singing that? Oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's that verse. I see it. You tasted of it, and you wanted it, and you're thirsty for it, and you've tasted of the grace of God, and what a blessing that is. You see, God has given you the blessing of His grace. But now notice, secondly, we will be redeemed by His grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? There's no doubt Paul had tasted of the grace, but you sense he's weary with this carnality. I am carnal, he says. Who will deliver me from this? And he tells us, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we must then identify with Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me say, there are two ways to have new life every day. First is through our identity in Christ. And second is by the hope that one day we will see him face to face and we will receive a brand new body in that day. But for now, we must find our identity in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So go back for a quick moment. Look at Romans 6:4 in your Bible or in your notes. Notice what it says. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when we were saved, we were buried with him, we were baptized with him into his death. We identify with his death. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, when Jesus died, I died. Nevertheless, I live. How does a dead man live? By the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So here we identify with that every day. Lord Jesus, I identify with the fact that the old man has no longer dominion over me, but that your spirit lives in me and guides me and directs me. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, watch this now, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. This is why Paul said, I die daily. This is why Paul said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And so we see that there is a daily identifying with the cross, a daily dying. And I have prayed these things. Lord, help me to be dead to sin and self today. And help me to be alive to your Holy Spirit today. You say, Pastor, have you always been dead to carnality? No. But I pray daily that I might find my life in Christ, dead to self and alive in his spirit. This is my prayer. This is my desire. And this is how you have new life every day, to see your identity in Jesus Christ. So that's daily identity and that's daily victory. But what about the ultimate victory? Because you say, Pastor, even when you pray for that victory, Paul himself said that he was carnal and that he knew in his mind, but he struggled. So how does this one day really become a life of victory? Well, I want you to notice, if you would, in your notes, 1 Corinthians 15:52. The Bible tells us that there is coming a time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This is the time when Jesus raptures his church. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So this sinful flesh in which I live, this carnal body, one day is going to be set aside. And this corruptible, this that thinks sinfully in the brain or walks sinfully with the feet, or this that feels sickly, this body, this corruptible body will be put away and we will put on an incorruptible body. For the Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him. And so, friends, I want you to realize that we are living daily victoriously when we reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. But ultimately, the victory is coming because this corruptible will put on incorruption. So let me illustrate it this way. My body and yours become sick, and the white blood cells start to fight, and we take some medicine, and we begin to battle in the body for a point of wellness, and you gain some health, and then you operate for a while. But the honest truth of the matter is that one day, this corruptible body, the heart in my body, the lungs in my body, they're gonna stop working. Unless the Lord calls me home in the rapture, the fact of the matter is that I live in a corruptible body. I'm not trying to be depressed, guys, over 50, so do you. The only ultimate victory that we have is that Jesus Christ has promised us an incorruptible body. By the way, how many of you are thankful for that? Some of you guys are going, well, this is kind of like church talk. I don't get all this. Let me tell you what. You know when this really matters? When you're a pastor preaching someone's funeral. You better hope they've accepted Christ. Because if they have, then you can tell the congregation they have a new body and a new home right now. And if they reject Jesus Christ, you can't say that. So Paul said, where's the deliverance? And he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, the medicine may deliver me from some pain for a while. Watch this. And if I die to self, and if I walk in the Spirit, I can have new spiritual life. But there's still struggles, and there's still temptations. Where is the ultimate victory? The ultimate victory is when the trump of God will sound. The ultimate victory, 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us our victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have the ultimate victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a great promise that is. So I can have new life today as I take the spiritual medicine, as I die to self, as I find my identity in Christ. But I know that I'm operating from the winning side because ultimately this corruptible body is going to be put off and a new and an incorruptible body will be put on. How many of you are thankful for that promise today? Amen. Some of us, we get up in the morning, it's like snap, crackle, pop. You got to get your hip in place and your knee in place and your teeth in place and your mind in place. But one day, all of that will be in place. Amen? Amen. So here it is. The Christian, then, can say that a new man is already living in him. How many of you are thankful for the presence of the Lord in your life today? He's the one that guides you into the truths of Scripture. He guides you away from sin. If you're saved this morning, the Lord is guiding you and the Lord is with you. The Christian can say that a new man is living in him, but he must also confess that the sinful part of his old man has not yet ceased to be. Therefore, we must daily find our identity in Jesus Christ, and we must ultimately find our hope in the coming of Jesus Christ, because at that time, this old body will be set aside with its sickness, with its sin, with its temptation, and we will be like Jesus. And what a day that will be. What a great day that will be. Until then, we must, as God's people, mortify the flesh or die to self and walk in the Spirit. Look as we close at Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. If we would have new life today, then we can't live in the trash can today. We can't live as carnal, fleshly people. And many Christians are living in the trash can when God wants us to live in the garden of his blessing. You don't have to live a carnal life. That's not to say that you won't have temptation or that you won't sin. Christians do sin, but we should not live a carnal life in the sense of a habitual life. When we are given the key to victory through the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so I encourage you, find your identity in him. We are buried with him in the likeness of his death. We are raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection. And one day when we see him, this old body and all of its need for medicine, we're going to throw it all away and we're going to receive a brand new body for all of eternity. And one of my favorite hymns is this: it will be worth it all when we see Christ. So Christian friend, don't give up the fight. Don't begrudge the battle. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And one day when we see Christ, it will be worth it all.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.